Chinese takeout menu.
Staples. Less mess equals more success.
Iowa and you and I both lose. Iowa State comes up big at home, and you better believe it. There's some big baseball news to talk about. All that and more on a Monday edition of the show, which starts right now.
I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Losing is part of life. We've been doing it ever since we started playing basketball. If it wasn't for losing, we wouldn't be here at this point of our lives, playing for the school that we all wanted to. But at the end of the day, there's another game on the horizon, so we have to just try to figure out what's going wrong. Obviously, 15 losses is way too many in this season, but we still have to keep the next game mentality, keep going forward. We can't just fold. We can't just give up on a season because obviously anything can happen.
Losing is part of life, especially if you're an Iowa basketball fan this season. That's Jordan Bohannon after Iowa's 82-64 loss in Columbus over the weekend. We'll hear more of what Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey had to say after the Hawkeyes' latest setback. Plenty to get to today. We will talk Hawkeye hoops with Mac McCausland. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock tonight. Before we get to Mac, John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State, another big win. If they could play all their games on Saturday against ranked opponents at home, they'd have something going this year. You and I losing to Drake on the road over the weekend as well. Yu Darvish finds a home on the north side of Chicago. And very excited about this, Alex, you know very little about this, but coming up today, we're going to do this every day until the Olympics is over. How long is the Olympics?
A few weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, I think it goes to like the 28th.
Alex Kuhn, no, Olympic update.
Yes.
The Alex Kuhn Olympic update, number one, today at 5:30. Oh, by the way, Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago is going to be with us at 6:05. We'll talk about the Yu Darvish signing. And Jesse has a new book about Cubs manager Joe Maddon as well. And I'm going to try to finagle a free copy during that segment. As we mentioned, plenty more to get to today as well. The Indianapolis Colts finally have a head coach. But let's start with basketball over the weekend. Iowa State, 88-80 winner over Oklahoma. Nice win. Kansas is tomorrow. That's a huge game for Iowa State. You and I, heck, we kind of know what we've got with the Panthers at this point. And as they wrote about the Hawkeyes in the Des Moines Register over the weekend, the season is sort of a flat line. Yeah. But hey, Bay, the Big Ten tournament's right around the corner.
I think we know what we have in Iowa and you and I. And I think for the fans of both of those teams, it's not what they want. They'll perform well at home against lesser competition. They're going to struggle against good competition, and they're not going to win games on the road. And that's what we've seen out of both of those teams, minus a 20-point comeback for Iowa against Illinois. But for Iowa State, this is a team that looks like it could legitimately be very good the next couple of seasons. Now, I'll preface that with saying I said the same thing about this Iowa team. Not to say that they couldn't be good next year, but this year has been a massive disappointment, and I don't think that there's any way to say otherwise in this case. But Lindell Wigginton and Cameron Lard look like budding stars in the Big 12. They're always going to be tough in Hilton Coliseum. Donovan Jackson has been good this season, but Solomon Young is only a sophomore. He's going to be an ultimate glue player for this team when they become a good basketball team, which I think they will here shortly. So for Iowa State fans, I think it's really heading into this offseason, whether they make the NIT or not, they have to be feeling pretty good about their basketball team. The other two teams, there are going to be a lot of question marks heading into this offseason.
Glad you brought up Cameron Lard, career-high 17 rebounds against Oklahoma over the weekend. Number 17, Oklahoma. Actually, number 17 no longer. OU dropping to 23rd in today's AP poll. Lard, the second time this year, he picks up newcomer of the week honors in the Big 12. Seventh double-double of the season. Again, the Cyclones, very impressive 88-80 victory over Oklahoma. They've won 7 home games in a row against the Sooners. Pretty good against OU at Hilton Coliseum. Now, again, the big game is tomorrow against Kansas. Nick Weiler-Babb remains questionable, according to head coach Steve Prohm. Hans Brace is out. And Lard and Young, well, they both got nicked up during that OU game. And we'll find out the latest when John Walters joins us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have for our listeners this week on the program, very excited about this, $30 gift certificates to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids, our one and only Hawkeye bar. You know the Fieldhouse as well as I do. Many great memories there through the years. $30 to the Fieldhouse. Excited about this. You can use it to grab lunch with coworkers. You can use it after you punch out, maybe hit happy hour. You can do whatever you want with it as long as you win. Don't forget, by the way, Valentine's Day is coming up on Wednesday. Now,
good, because I would have forgotten.
Are you excited about Alex Kuhn Olympic updates? Because I get sort of a tepid response from you.
No, I mentioned moments ago, excited.
Oh, hey, by the way, coming up in hour number two, you know nothing about this. You're going to give us Olympic updates for the next several weeks.
And it's funny that this is coming up because, Todd, this is an honest-to-goodness truth. I was sitting on my couch yesterday, probably in hour number two of three of viewing the Olympics yesterday. I've been watching, on average, more than an hour of Olympic coverage per day.
That's unhealthy.
It is, but it is what it is. I just can't get enough of it. And I said to myself, how can I use this useless information that I'm gathering from watching all of this Olympic coverage? And I kept coming to the same answer. I can't. There's no way for me to do it. But what did you give me today, Todd?
A lifeline
to be able to use this useless knowledge that everybody will forget about in about 3 weeks. So
that's
I can't wait.
Yeah. Should be a motto for the show here. That's also what I got you for your Valentine's gift.
Awesome.
So you're welcome. Alex Kuhn Olympic updates every day as the Olympics roll on NBC? Is that the network there?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I can tell you this. I watched for the first time any Olympic coverage other than highlights or people making fun of the guy who looks like Andy Reid, the curler.
Yep.
Other than highlights that popped into my timeline on social media. Today I went to lunch, and they happened to have the Olympics on TV. It's just...
So what were you watching?
It appeared to be something with snow and a slope and possibly skis and or snowboards. Couldn't tell, wasn't paying much attention, but there was some sort of slope.
Oh, the biathlon.
Involved. Could have been the biathlon. Is that the they
one with
ski
the shooting?
And shooting?
Yep.
Yeah. Like to know who came up with that. Who decided to mix those two? We're off to a riveting start. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. There's not much else we can do about it. John Walters will save us when we come up at the bottom of the hour. I'm excited to talk baseball today with Jesse Rogers in hour number three, and it's not just because the Cubs signed Yu Darvish over the weekend, which, by the way, kudos to the MLB Network for deciding the airing of the Bad News Bears in breaking training for the 137th time was way more important than breaking into programming with the Yu Darvish news. And I would say that if Darvish signed with any other team, I go, okay, big baseball news, flip it over. Now there's Kelly Leak trying to convince his dad in air quotes, to coach the team while they're in Houston. Going to play a game at the Astrodome. I I've watched that. It's always on MLB Network.
Wait, is it the second one?
It's the sequel to the original Bad News Bears, which apparently...
So it's not even the good one.
It must be cheaper for the MLB Network to run it because that one is on way more often than you see the actual Bad News Bears. And I mentioned Kelly Leak, the character, because the guy who plays him was also in the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell. And in that movie, his character's name is Dukes. He's a particularly dirty hippie, if I recall
that
movie correctly.
His name is Dukes?
Dukes. He's the guy who hits the half-court shot, and Will Ferrell
does he recite rap lines?
He does not. If you missed it on the gym class earlier today, and chances are you may have, Mark Dukes decided to become a lyricist. And in doing so, with the times, he's sampling from other artists. So if you listen to the gym class all week long, you can win tickets to the Ja Rule T-Pain Mike Jones concert that's coming up at the U.S. Cellular Center by listening to Mark recite lyrics and then calling in to figure out which one of the three artists originally used said lyric. It's all week long on the gym class, 3 to 4. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes. They had Mike Halas on with them today. Again, if you missed it, podcast available, kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can also vote in today's poll question. Was the Yu Darvish deal good for the Cubs? Yes or no? Darvish signing over the weekend a 6-year, $126 million contract. It averages out to about $22 million annually. He's 31. He will be 32 in August. And as the detractors have pointed out, he had an ERA north of 20 in the World Series in his two appearances. I saw somebody say that he single-handedly lost the World Series for the Dodgers. I believe the last time I checked, baseball involved 9 men on the field, but I get where people are coming from. Let the hatred flow. I love it. Just let it all out. If the Cubs are the new evil empire, which they're not, it's still the Yankees, then let your hatred flow. I think it's a good signing. We'll get into it a little bit tonight in the 6 o'clock hour with Jesse Rogers, but you take a look now, the projected rotation, Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic. Everybody's joining The Athletic, except for me and Alex. They picked up Bernie Miklas. They're starting a St. Louis version of The Athletic. I love that website, by the way. And it's dirt cheap, and it's great, great sports writing. Ken Rosenthal, over the weekend, projecting the Cubs rotation this year to be John Lester, followed by Darvish, then Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, and Tyler Chatwood. Mike Montgomery, of course, is waiting in the wings as a sixth starter slash long man out of the bullpen, which I'm sure he's not happy about, but that's not a bad rotation. And the Brewers have gotten significantly better this offseason. The Cardinals' offense has gotten better. I still think they need to address some pitching, although they've got some young internal options. And we'll find out whether Alex Reyes is ready to come back. He should be ready for game action sometime in May, I would think, after undergoing Tommy John surgery at the onset of spring training last year. This is exciting. This is sort of a three-team arms race, no pun intended. The Brewers aren't exactly adding arms, although they could go out and bring in Jake Arrieta now, which I think would add a completely different storyline. Two things, but this, I'm ready for baseball season. Pitchers and catchers start reporting to Arizona and Florida this week, and now maybe that Darvish has signed, you're going to see the floodgates open, and guys like Arrieta, JD Martinez, some of these high-profile free agents that are out there are going to start getting contracts. Maybe.
We'll see.
They're going to have their own camp. Did you see this?
I did not.
I believe it's in Florida. With, I think, IMG is involved. They're going to have, the free agents are going to have their own spring training camp so that they can work out, stay in shape. And if the Darvish deal is any indication, the teams will have benefited here by waiting out these free agents, and that is ultimately not going to sit well, I think, with the Major League Baseball Players Association. And, yeah, they're going to have some uncomfortable conversations, but the Darvish deal, at $22 million average annual value, is a good deal. And if they win another World Series sometime in the 6 years, which my only qualm with that deal is the sixth year.
Yeah.
But if that's what it took to get him, I believe the Twins had a 5-year deal on the table. The Dodgers were involved in the discussion. If it's the sixth year that it took to get him, then so be it. But the average annual value, and I hate baseball and talking about things like average annual value now because the game shouldn't be about the money, except it is. That's where we're at in 2018. Now, the other thing to keep in mind here, and I said, I told myself all day long, I said I wasn't going to go Cubs heavy out of the gate because I know people that listen to this program that don't like the Cubs. Oh, he talks about his Cubs. It's a good deal. And I know there are some people out there that are disappointed that the Cubs chose to go with Darvish over Jake Arrieta. They reportedly went to Jake Arrieta and offered him a similar deal, and he turned them down. Good luck getting that deal on there. And I see this all over the place, where there is a section of the fan base that was disappointed in this. There is zero room for being sentimental in professional sports. Zero room for being sentimental. So if you wanted Jake Arrieta back just because of 2015 and 2016 and 2017, sorry, there is zero room for sentimentality, especially in 2018. It's dollars and cents, and it's performance, and it's what makes sense. And I think Darvish right now is the better pitcher than Arrieta. And you want to pay some other team wants to pay Arrieta for his performance in 2015 and 2016, fine. And if it wants to, if that team's going to be the Brewers, the Cardinals, in the fine, I'm okay with that.
I hope it isn't. As far as the Cardinals, the Brewers can do it all, as much as they want.
Lance Lynn is still out there.
He
Alex.
Is, and I'm sure that bridge is burned already. Anyway, at least that's what it seems like. I'm going to be quite honest. I think I can look at the Cubs with an objective perspective.
I can't.
I wasn't.
I'm told that often on the Hurting and Stalker text line.
I think it was a little bit too much. I think it was a little bit too long for a guy who's been as injury prone as he has been, and who has been as bad in the playoffs as he has been. But it stabilizes the rotation. He'll be the 3 or 4 starter. And that as long as he stays healthy and somewhat productive, I think he's around a Jose Quintana-type pitcher. And I'm not exactly privy to how much a pitcher of this caliber is supposed to make it. But what I'm hearing is his yearly salary will be a little bit less than annual value. The question is, can he stay healthy?
And I'm sorry, I thought you were done there.
Go ahead.
Why is it that Cubs fans especially do not like Jose Quintana, that they don't think that he is a good pitcher? Now, I understand that chances are in the long run, and I was a big fan of his going back to the Midwest League All-Star game here in Cedar Rapids a couple years ago, Eloy Jimenez, who I think is the best prospect that the Chicago White Sox got in all of their trades. I am a huge Eloy Jimenez fan. But you look at Quintana's numbers, and the number that you have to also look at there is his salary and the fact that he's controlled for several more years at a relatively cost-effective rate. Again, I hate the fact that this passes for baseball analysis nowadays, where we're talking about, well, you've got to take into account his contract. It's just a fact of life. Quintana's a much better pitcher than some people are willing to give him credit for.
Todd, I introduce you to the Cubs version of Lance Lynn. You just brought up Lance Lynn, and Cardinals fans could not stand him because of he's inconsistent, his body language. Well, he went out there and gave you 150-plus innings every year and was a solid middle to upper rotation guy. And a lot of times people don't appreciate that because he's not dominant. And he's not a top-of-the-line pitcher, but it cannot be overstated how valuable those type of pitchers are.
Quintana, if the rotation is Lester, Darvish, Hendricks, Quintana, and Chatwood, Quintana is much better than a 4, but they want to break up the lefties. And I get that, which I think, and old takes exposed or whatever it is on Twitter, if they could grab a podcast of this and hang on to it, I think the Chatwood signing is going to be a great deal for the Cubs. You get him out of Coors Field, his ground ball rate, he's a number 5 starter. You're not signing him to be your ace. I like the additions of Darvish and Chatwood to the rotation. You know who doesn't? Mike Montgomery. But if you win another ring, and they do have a shot at it, my point is they signed Darvish over the weekend. It puts them in a better position to win a ring.
Yes. Yes,
now
he does.
Jason Hayward could suddenly retire, decide to retire and give the remaining dollars and cents on his contract back to the team. I would love that even more. But
not a great likelihood of that happening, but
not at all. Hey, but you know what? Chili Davis, the Cubs have a new hitting coach, and for the sixth or seventh time in Jason Hayward's career, going back to his time with the Braves, hey, he's really going to turn it around this year.
See,
this is the year.
It's interesting because I had this discussion with Kyle before the show, and people bring up the opt-out clause in a contract, and I think in this Darvish deal, it's after 2 years. The thing with the opt-out clause is it's only really used if the player's doing well. You don't usually see somebody opt out of a contract after 2 or 3 years when they're not doing well. That wouldn't make much sense. So while it's there, I just am a little confused as to how that kind of gets lumped in, because Yu Darvish, if he's doing well, the Cubs will keep him at this value. If he's not doing well, he's not going to go out and look for a new contract.
Am I concerned about Darvish's performance in the postseason, Mike, in Iowa City? The answer to that is yes and no. Mainly no, because the postseason is an extremely small sample size. And I know that sounds very wishy-washy, but it's also accurate. Small sample size, and everybody's watching, so everything is magnified times 10. He does that during May or June, no one even notices it. And pitchers do that often. Now he's 31, he's going to be 32 in August. Yeah, this is it's a little bit of a lottery ticket. But you also kind of know that you're starting off the lottery ticket with, you've got three numbers. You got a good feeling that you're going to win some return here on your investment in the lottery ticket. You just don't know if you're going to hit the Powerball or not. That's how I have to look at this. But as 3530 points out, screw the haters. I love hearing baseball talk. Pitchers and catchers report this week. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And speaking of, is there icebergs sports in the Olympics?
No, there's not.
Anything involving icebergs?
No.
Okay, well, there should be. 4:27, we're going to step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. You're never going to believe which honor Megan Gustafson took home this week, the Iowa women's basketball player. Not in a million years will you guess what honor she brought home. Back with more after this.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse, you know. The one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
4:28, welcome back in. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us in just a few minutes. But first, time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa women won their fourth in a row yesterday, 70-61, led by Megan Gustafson with 25 points and 16 rebounds. She's now eighth in program history in scoring, fourth in rebounding, and today she was named to the Naismith Trophy late season list and won her eighth Big Ten Player of the Week award. All the major state universities were in action on Saturday, including the Iowa men, who lost to Ohio State in Columbus 82-64. Jack Nungy ended up with a game-high 18 points off the bench, but add the Buckeyes to the list of Hawkeye opponents to shoot 50% from the floor. Iowa fell to 12-15 and 3-11 in the conference. Things went much better for Iowa State, however, as they pulled off the upset of Trey Young and number 17 Oklahoma, 88-80. All five Cyclone starters reached double digits, including Cameron Lard with 19 points and 17 boards, and Lindell Wigginton with a game-high 26. Northern Iowa went on the road and lost to Drake 71-64, making it four losses in their last five games. With both guys coming off the bench, Bennett Cook had an 11 points and 11 boards double-double, and Wyatt Lohaus led the team in scoring for a second straight game with 17, but the Panthers again shot under 40% from the floor. The 7th-ranked Iowa wrestling team also lost to Penn State that night, but Alex Marinelli upset top-ranked and previously unbeaten Vincenzo Joseph, and freshman Spencer Lee stayed undefeated with a pin. Tonight after the show, it's a sideline call-in show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington, hosting Iowa City Liberty on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
I know John won't be able to talk about it, but Iowa State got another quarterback commit over the weekend, too, in the 2019 class. Easton Dean, he's 6'6", so Cyclones just starting to hoard quarterbacks. John Walters, Voice of the Cyclones joins us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Ugh! Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. This is both easy and peasy. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment for tires or maintenance at lindertire.com. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Right on their reputation for integrity and excellent service.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, Ole Miss and basketball coach Andy Kennedy will part ways after this season. Kennedy is the winningest hoops coach in Rebels history, but this season's been a tough one. Ole Miss 3-9 in its last 12 games. Virginia's the top-ranked team in the AP poll for the first time since December 1982. That was 7'4" great Ralph Sampson senior season. Michigan State's number two, Villanova's third. Baseball, Cardinals agreed to a one-year deal with reliever Bud Norris. Meanwhile, about 100 free agents still looking for contracts, like outfielder J.D. Martinez, first baseman Eric Hosmer, and pitcher Jake Arrieta. ESPN's Buster Olney weighs in on where they might land.
I think J.D. Martinez eventually winds up with the Red Sox. It doesn't seem like a high volume of teams that are interested in him. Eric Hosmer chooses between the Padres and the Kansas City Royals. I can't tell you where Arrieta goes. But I do think with Darvish signing, that better defines his market, and maybe you see him sign with the Brewers or the Twins.
Buster on Golic and Wingo. NBA Spurs leading scorer LaMarcus Aldridge out tonight in Utah and tomorrow in Denver in order to receive treatment on his sore right knee.
If you're still looking for the perfect Valentine's Day gift, 1-800-Flowers.com is here for you with 18 enchanted roses for only $29.99. You don't have much time, so hurry and go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But Dad, school pictures are today!
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, Dupaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all Dupaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through Dupaco's online banking or app. Not a Dupaco member? Join today in branch or online at dupaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
The quality of the product that we are offering is going to be much higher than at a box store. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We are HP sales and service authorized, and we're able to get better products that clients will be able to use. It will last longer in their business. I can sell a laptop that will come with a 3-year warranty because it's a higher quality.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we could try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Living dangerously can be a thrill, but waiting to the last minute to purchase her Valentine's gift? Now that's playing with fire. Guys, you've only got today to make this happen, so do it right and win Valentine's Day with a gorgeous bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 18 enchanted roses for only $29.99. This is your last chance for this great offer, so take advantage now. 18 enchanted roses for only $29.99 is an amazing last-minute offer from 1-800-Flowers. But you don't have much time, so hurry. Place your order today. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness and her amazement. 18 enchanted roses for only $29.99 is a steal. But this deal expires today, so you have to hurry. Make sure you lock in this offer. Only good while supplies last. To order 18 enchanted roses for only $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter the code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter the code WILL. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL.
Looking for a pre-owned vehicle to help prepare you for the future? All Honda-certified pre-owned vehicles are thoroughly inspected by a Honda-trained technician and backed by an outstanding Honda Limited warranty for up to 7 years or 100,000 miles from the original in-service date. You could say we pre-screen each one, you know, as a precaution. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory.
See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
All that baseball talk, and I neglected to mention that we have already started selling tickets. Yes, tickets are going quickly for the KGYM bus trip to Wrigley Field, which we announced last week. Cubs, White Sox, May 12th. Details available at our website, kgymradio.com. You now have a 1-in-5 chance of seeing Yu Darvish pitching for the Cubs, provided that he doesn't tear his UCL in spring training and miss the entire season, and then maybe it'll be Mike Montgomery. On that note, we go from that to news that a former Hawkeye could be mulling retirement early in his NFL career. We'll tell you who it is coming up in just a few minutes, but we transition now to Iowa State. Spent a good portion of the first 30 minutes talking about the Cyclones' 88-80 win over Oklahoma and Kansas lying ahead on the schedule next. Here to discuss it with us more, as he does every Monday, John Walters. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. The voice of the Cyclones will be on the Courtside Show tonight from Applebee's in Ames. I cheated. I looked ahead already at Steve Prohm and Bill Fennelly, so there goes one of my annual questions for John. How goes it, John?
It goes well.
I imagine after you beat Oklahoma 88-80 on Saturday, Cyclones have to be flying high going into this Kansas game.
I think they're playing some pretty good basketball right now. I thought they played pretty well for about 35 minutes at Texas Tech and couldn't close that deal against a pretty good team. But, you know, to come back home and lead almost the whole way against Oklahoma was really a good win. I know Oklahoma's had its struggles on the road in Big 12 play, as a lot of teams have, including Iowa State. But, you know, to protect the home floor and absorb their comeback where they came back from 17 down and tied it on a couple of occasions and be able to hang on and win that game was a good step forward for these guys. Now hopefully they can do it back-to-back nights and, you know, get another home win here tomorrow and really put themselves in a pretty good position going forward for the remaining games. So a lot of basketball still to play. Still, you know, we're two-thirds of the way through the Big 12 conference race, and you know, the Cyclones are two games out of fourth place, so there's an awful lot to play for, and we'll see if they can keep grinding.
John, I remember when you used to talk about Monte Morris. You talked about his ability to step up in big games when he was going up against some of the better point guards, not only in the Big 12 but around the country. And Lindell Wigginton was outstanding against Oklahoma, and it looked like he had a little extra juice and a little extra giddy up, knowing that he was going up against Trae Young. Is that how good is that to see from a young player?
Oh, it's awesome. I completely agree. You know, and I think the first time I raised that question to Eric was, you know, going into the Kansas game, going into Fog Allen Fieldhouse, wonder how Lindell's going to play tonight. You know, I wonder how he'll respond to this big stage. And he played tremendously well there. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been every time he's on a big stage, he does play well. And this was another great, great opportunity at home against Trae Young. Everybody's talking about him. Everybody's paying attention to him, deservingly so. He's a tremendous player. But I just thought Lindell really rose to that occasion. And, you know, I said to Eric before the game, how excited do you think Lindell is tonight? And he said, there's no doubt he's going to be pumped, you know. And to see him go out and perform like that was really, really cool. And hopefully opened some eyes around the country about how good he and Cameron Lard both are. I mean, two freshmen playing at a super high level. And when you throw in Oklahoma's Brady Manek, you know, the top four scorers basically in that game were all freshmen. Some exciting basketball ahead for all four of those guys. But it's really exciting to think about how well Lindell responds to those opportunities, because you're exactly right. Monte Morris was always at his best when he was facing a Frank Mason, you know, the Oklahoma State point guard, you name it. There were some good ones in the league last year, too. Keenan Evans. But Monte always seemed to rise up to those occasions as well. And I think we're seeing some flashes of that from Lindell.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, with us here on the Todd Brawley Camp Show, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. Nick Weiler-Babb, still questionable for the Kansas game. How questionable is questionable at this point?
Well, he probably has a better answer to that question right now than he did when we asked him that about 3 hours ago. And he said, you know, we're going to see how it goes in practice today. Not that they were going to do a lot of physical stuff. It was all no-contact stuff today anyway, but he was going to go out and give it a try at practice today, I think, and just see how it responded. And so now that the practice is probably over, they probably have a little bit better indication, but I haven't heard anything yet. You know, it sounded like a 50-50 proposition just in listening to Steve Prohm talk about it today. You know, if it responded well and they felt like he could give it a go, that they'd play him some minutes, I doubt he would start. You know, and I doubt that he'd be the primary ball handler. I think they'd probably let Lindell continue to do that and play Nick on the wing a little bit and spot moments if they can. But, you know, if they can't do it this tomorrow night, then maybe they'll try to do it on Saturday in Manhattan, Kansas. But it's just going to be a touch-and-go thing all the way on how he feels. And if it didn't respond well today at practice, then they're not going to push it. There's no surgery that they can do to correct it or anything like that. It's just a matter of what can he tolerate. And, you know, if it didn't respond well and he doesn't feel like he can be effective, they're certainly not going to put him out there. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I'd say, based on everything I've heard today, 50-50 proposition.
So we mentioned Cameron Lard and we mentioned Lindell Wigginton, and I know Iowa State fans are super excited to have them around, have them as freshmen, and we'll see how long they stick around Ames. But how comforting is it also to have a guy who kind of flies under the radar like Solomon Young, who looks like he can be an ultimate glue guy for this team moving forward?
Well, he really is that ultimate glue guy, and he has really played his best basketball of his career over the last, I'd say, 3 weeks. You know, he was kind of up and down early in the conference season. You know, good one night, not so great the next. But, you know, Coach Prohm kept talking to him about, look, we're not measuring you on the number of points you score. We're measuring you on, you know, how many 50-50 balls can you win? How many offensive rebounds can you get? How many times can you keep one of these elite scorers in the league out of the paint and keep them off their average? And, you know, I think Solomon's really responded to that. He's kind of a blue collar kind of guy to begin with. And I think he likes that role, and he's played it very, very well in the last few weeks. And, you know, he's gotten Iowa State off to good starts in these games, and he's made big plays. You know, you think about maybe the biggest basket in the game against Oklahoma was Lindell Wigginton's 3-pointer. Well, it was after Lindell's original pass got deflected high in the air. You know, Solomon's the guy that went and got the basketball and immediately had the presence of mind to throw it to Lindell behind the three-point line. He was open. He knocked down a three, and it got that lead back up to six. And he just makes plays like that all the time. You know, that sometimes they show up in the scorebook, but now a lot of times they don't. But it's just hustle plays, taking a charge, getting a good block out, you know, creating a turnover just by being in the right place. He just does a lot of the little things really well right now. And, you know, you throw in Zoran Talley, who's playing better and better of late. And those two guys have played a significant role, even though they're not scoring a lot. They've played a very significant role in the fact that Iowa State's been able to have some success in these home games.
Last time Iowa State and Kansas met, it was at Fog Allen Fieldhouse on the 9th of January. Iowa State almost pulled off the upset that night, 83-78. What do the Cyclones need to do different tomorrow night, in your opinion?
I think they need to do the same things, but do them better, you know, I mean, and close the game. You know, they kept in that game. They'd get down nine, they'd come back, they'd get it even. They'd get down nine, they'd come back, they'd get it even. And they kept doing that until about the three-minute mark where they pulled even, and then Kansas had one more run in them and was able to find another gear and put that game away. But the biggest thing when you play Kansas is, this year in particular, they're really dependent on shooting the three. So you've got to defend the three-point line well. I thought Iowa State defended the three-point line better against Oklahoma by far than we've seen them defend the three-point line in any other game this season. And we consider Trey Young and Brady Manek and Christian James, the three-pointers shooters that Oklahoma has, and they hit a few. James got ahead of the pack a couple times, hit a couple threes in transition. But particularly in the half court, I thought Iowa State did a tremendous job of limiting the three-point looks for Oklahoma. And, you know, that hasn't been a strength of this team this year. They're going to have to be good in that area tomorrow. You know, if it's a game where Kansas comes in and hits 18, 19 threes, it's going to be very tough for Iowa State to win. If you hold them to 8 or 9 made threes, I think you've got a great chance. But they're dependent on that, and then they love to get out and run. You know, they really pressure in the guard court. Obviously, with Nick Weiler-Babb questionable, they're going to really, really try to get out with their guards and pressure Iowa State's guards and try to create turnovers that turn into fast break opportunities. It's what they do best. And with the, you know, a wounded duck standing there, if you look at it, with Nick on the sideline, if he's not able to go, Lindell Wigginton's getting better and better at handling those primary ball handling duties, but it's tough against Kansas, and they're going to make it tough. So Iowa State's got to have five guys really be aware of that. Zarantali will probably have to do some of the ball handling again, but Iowa State really has to take care of the basketball. If they can take care of the ball, go compete on the boards, make some shots, and just try to defend that three-point line pretty well, I think they'll be in a pretty good position.
I thought the story of the game, especially in the first half, was the job that Iowa State did defensively against Trey Young, making life difficult for him. Can they take anything that they did defensively against him and carry it to the Kansas game, taking on another really good point guard in Devontae Graham, or is this just a completely different set of circumstances?
Well, I think it's mostly different just because Young's so willing to shoot it from anywhere on the floor, but I'm sure some of the things apply, you know, and the bottom line is Lindell Wigginton has done a very nice job defensively guarding the other team's point guards, and started with Manu LeConte of Baylor the first time they came into Hilton Coliseum, and, you know, I thought he did a nice job on Javon Carter. He did a nice job on Trey Young for the moments that he was on him. They used a bunch of different guys because Lindell picked up a second foul, but when he went back on him at the end of the game, he did a good job again. I think, you know, it is a little bit different just because Young is so unique, but Graham is certainly a tremendous player too, and he was the preseason player of the year in the Big 12. And in the game down in Lawrence, Graham was not a huge factor. Wigginton did a very nice job on him, but he made some plays late in that game to help put it away for Kansas. And when it was crunch time and the game was tight, he was able to rise up and make those plays. And you know, something that Eric talked about on our broadcast the other day is that in these home games, it seems like the adrenaline that Iowa State has, playing seven guys or whatever the number is, they're able to find an extra gear, or find some more adrenaline, some more juice, just from that home crowd kind of bringing them through those moments where maybe your legs are a little fatigued and it's hard to fight through it on the road, especially. But at home, they seem to play off the crowd and get through those moments. And so hopefully that's something they can do here again tomorrow night, but eventually they're going to have to go take that on the road and see if they can pull that off on the road as well.
It's an ESPN2 broadcast tomorrow night, but we invite everybody to listen to the broadcast here on 1600 AM with John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. I imagine, even though you've got two basketball guests tonight on the courtside show, that perhaps a football topic will be broached. You've got to be excited that Kyle Kemp got that sixth year of eligibility.
Yeah, that's great news for Iowa State. And, it, you know, the quarterback room got a lot better in the last few days between Brock Purdy committing and signing with Iowa State and then the news about Kyle Kemp. That room, that really improved. And you can never have enough quarterbacks. And Kyle brings just that veteran experience. It's really going to help in spring practice, you know, to have a guy who can teach some of those younger guys the offense, basically. You know, I know it's still a work in progress for Zeb Noland, for Rial Mitchell, who's here from high school and has started his career early. He's here for spring practice. It's very important for him to learn. You know, even Devin Moore, who missed almost, did miss all of last season with a knee injury. It's going to be really important for him to get reps in there behind Kyle Kemp and to see the right way to go through the progressions in this offense. So I think it's going to help every one of those quarterbacks to have Kyle back. He's a guy that everybody in that room really respects, and I think that's going to help. But, you know, if you brought in a fifth-year grad transfer, maybe he doesn't have the instant respect in that room that a Kyle Kemp does. So I think it's really good for, you know, Zeb Noland really admires Kyle Kemp. I think this is good for Zeb. I think it's good for all those guys. And there's no guarantee that Kyle's going to be the starting quarterback when the play begins in the fall. But he's going to have to earn it. But I'd say he's probably the front runner at this point, and he's going to have to hold off all those guys to get the job done.
Steve Prohm and Bill Fennelly coming up on the Courtside Show tonight from the Applebee's in Ames. We appreciate our chat as always, John. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And speaking of football, we mentioned the news that a possible retirement could be looming for a former Hawkeye football player. We'll tell you who that is when we come back after this. But first, LowTUSA.com, a website that will teach you a little bit more about Mantality and what they do to help men feel like their old selves again. Mantality treats men for low testosterone with testosterone replacement therapy, commonly referred to as TRT. Who makes a good candidate for testosterone replacement therapy? Well, guys at the age of 40 or above, that's usually where your body starts to lose your natural levels of testosterone. And if they dip too low, it can start affecting your everyday life. Maybe you're a little bit more forgetful. Maybe you start putting on a little excess weight, or you find it harder to get rid of. Maybe your energy level at work or at home with the wife and the kids just isn't quite where it needs to be or where it used to be. Could mean you're a candidate for testosterone replacement therapy. Mantality is 100% board-certified physicians. It's a doctor's office, but it's not quite a doctor's office. You're just going to need to check it out to find out what I'm talking about. You can make your appointment by going to the website lowtusa.com. And Mantality. 4:52, we'll step aside, take a quick break. That Iowa football story and more when we return after this.
Riverside Casino and Golf Resort is a huge supporter of the Corridor Classic Tour de Cure, and this year they're hosting the countdown to the event. Sign up now and registration is only $15. You get the early bird discount and a jump start on raising funds for the American Diabetes Association. Join Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and support the Corridor Classic Tour de Cure this summer. Register now and get the early bird discount at diabetes.org/Corridor Classic.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top seven wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
Just like our Cyclones need to have a strategy for today's game, you need to have one for your future. Hi, this is Craig Adamson with True Wealth Stewardship. Come and see us. We'll be happy to show you how to create a solid game plan to beat the IRS's full court press, avoid costly fouls, and minimize turnovers of your hard-earned cash to Uncle Sam. Visit us at TrueWealthStewardship.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back, and if you don't think current NFL players are taking the concussions and player safety movement seriously, this one took me back this week. I saw this come across my timeline on Twitter, and I clicked on the story, and my jaw just dropped. It's from the Northwest Herald, which is a newspaper out of the Chicago suburbs. C.J. Fedorowicz, the former Hawkeye tight end, was inducted into the Johnsburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame over the weekend. Fedorowicz is 26 years old, okay? This is not you know, a guy who's been in the league for 12, 13, 15 seasons. He suffered three concussions last year. And in this interview, talks openly about mulling the possibility of retiring. He signed, prior to last season, a three-year guaranteed deal. I think it was a $25, $26 million contract, a $21.5 million contract. 10 of it was guaranteed over the course, the lifetime of the three-year deal. So he's 1 year in on a three-year deal. He had four catches and 46 yards in the first half of the season opener last year against Jacksonville, and then he got knocked out cold. Comes back, suffers two more concussions after that, and at the end of the season, he's now looking at walking away.
It's funny you bring this up, because I had chatted with somebody about this, and I thought that he was a guy that probably would mull the option to retire. He's had four in the last 2 years. He had one last year as well. And just thinking back throughout his career, only God knows how many he's had prior to this anyway. So I think that it would probably be a good move for him to do so.
This is a great quote here. "You can't go repair your brain," Fedorowicz said. "It's not like an ACL or shoulder. That's serious." Best of luck to him as he figures out what he's going to do moving forward. But you're talking about a 26-year-old young man who's thinking about retiring and doing what's best for him and walking away from millions. Not a lot of people would do that, but in this instance, it looks like it could be the right call. Speaking of making the right call, it's time to send things over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
The Iowa women won their fourth in a row yesterday, 70-61, led by Megan Gustafson with 25 points and 16 rebounds. She's now eighth in program history in scoring, fourth in rebounding, and today she was named to the Naismith Trophy late season list and won her eighth Big Ten Player of the Week award. All the major state universities were in action on Saturday, including the Iowa men, who lost to Ohio State in Columbus 82-64. Jack Nungy ended up with a game-high 18 points off the bench, but add the Buckeyes to the list of Hawkeye opponents to shoot over 50% from the floor. Things went much better for Iowa State, however, as they pulled off the upset of Trey Young and number 17 Oklahoma, 88-80. All five Cyclone starters reached double digits, including Cameron Lard with 19 points and a career-high 17 boards, and Lindell Wigginton with a game-high 26. Northern Iowa went on the road and lost to Drake 71-64, making it four losses in their last five games. With both guys coming off the bench, Bennett Cook had an 11 points and 11 rebound double-double, and Wyatt Lowhouse led the team in scoring for a second straight game with 17. The 7th-ranked Iowa wrestling team also lost to Penn State that night, but Alex Marinelli upset top-ranked and previously unbeaten Vincenzo Joseph, and freshman Spencer Lee stayed undefeated with a pin. Tonight after the show, it's a sideline call-in show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington, hosting Iowa City Liberty on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
Coming up in hour number two, the very first of several Alex Kuhn Olympic updates.
Woo! Can't wait.
Mac McCausland is going to be with us as well. And last week we told you that Rough Riders coach Mark Carlson had a shot at picking up win number 600 over the weekend. Riders went 0-2, so they're going to have a chance to do it at home against Muskegon this week. Mark Carlson sitting on 599 wins. 1 hour down, 2 to go. Stick with us. Back after this.
Living dangerous.